Recording started. My name is Randy Vaughn, and this is kind of why visual content matters, giving you a visual content strategy. And so we want to go through this pretty quickly today because we have a lot, or get started pretty quickly. We have a lot of slides to get through. There's not a lot of text on the slides, but if you, again, you'll have the copy of them, but if you have any trouble seeing anything, let me know, but I think we can get through this. When it comes to visuals, when we're talking about marketing, and particularly online social media marketing, visuals matter. We've been a visual society for a long time, and ever since the beginning, we've found ways, before we had text to write things, we've communicated visually. Let me give you an example of the power of visuals. I could give you this text on the screen, and this text, as you think about it, says something. You immediately begin to conjure up some ideas, so even this text, because it has the word soldier, you know what, something is happening here, so you kind of have in your mind something is going on, but it's just text. But when I put that up there, now our hearts kind of melt and our smiles come on our face, just like some of you did this morning as you just saw that. Visuals matter. Visuals make a big difference as opposed to just text. Now, as I look at websites and I look at schools around the country and everything like that, I just have my first inclination is to kind of audit websites. And surprisingly, we're very, very, very text heavy on our websites. We may have some visuals of the kids and things like that, but primarily we're still very text heavy on our websites because we tend to want to inform our prospective families of everything that they possibly could know. And so we do that through text. But what I want to suggest to you today is that we need to up the visuals on our websites, on our social media platforms. We're going to go through that today, what that means. So if you have any questions, this is very interactive. We're going to try to move along, but if you have a question about something, raise your hand and we'll talk about that. We're using the hashtag just across the conference, and that's my Twitter handle if you need that. Just a little brief background. How many of you have been in the presentation, any of these presentations before? Okay. Some of you haven't, so the rest of you hear some of this for the third time, but this is my family. My wife Kelly and I have been married 20 years come December. My daughter Tori is in high school. The two boys on the end, they are loving this hotel thing. They came down with me, the whole family did. So they think they're just having a blast at this hotel. Our daughter Katie, this is her story. We adopted her from a village in Benin, West Africa. That's where that is. We actually lived there for 9 years as a missionary. My wife and I served there. We grew up, Tori, our high schooler now, was 3 months old when we went and lived in these villages like this right here. And this is some of the men that I worked with. I did a lot of pastoral training. Evangelism training, and the gentleman right below me, if you can pick me out of the picture. That's supposed to be funny, I don't know. Too early. In the yellow shirt, his name is Aga, and that's actually Katie's birth father. When her birth mother gave birth, the birth mother passed away a few days afterwards. Aga and I had become really, really good friends. He taught me the local language that I needed to be able to speak to communicate, and he and I became really good friends. And that when that happened, he's crippled with polio, so he has no use of his arms or legs. And so, while he's a great pastor, funniest guy in the world, but he had trouble physically taking care of his kids. And so, here comes a newborn, and so he asked us if we would raise Katie and adopt her. And so, we've had her since she was 3 weeks old. But that's a little bit about my family. So we're going to get into visual content. Now, if you've heard this before, I do the same kind of foundation in every presentation because I think it's important. Because we understand what anytime we're talking about social media, it's still, social media is not just some random effort out here unrelated to your entire marketing effort. It is a micro system of your whole marketing system. And so, come on in. Which class are you looking for? That is in, down there, Regency 1, I think. So you know, when we talk about school marketing, I think we need to understand what we're doing in marketing our school, because marketing by itself is something that none of us really have enjoyed, because we've been on the receiving end of marketing. We've been manipulated, we've been pushed on, we've been promoted to, all those kind of definitions of marketing we don't like as consumers, and so we have a tendency not to like that. We don't want to do that to our prospective family, so I wanted to just give a definition of marketing that I thought would allow you to enjoy marketing and love what you're doing in marketing and not feel intimidated by marketing your school. So we're going to go through a definition that looks like this. First part is getting ideal families to know, like, and trust you. That's the first half of the definition. It kind of gives us an idea of where we're starting. We're getting these families that we know would be great families to fill these empty seats that we have at our school. People always ask me, what does an ideal family look like? And I would say, first of all, if you've got five seats left to fill in your kindergarten class, and you look and you're thinking in your head, if I just had five more families like the Polk family, the Johnson family, then that would be ideal. My life would be so easy if I could just fill them with those kind of families. Then those are very likely your ideal families. They're matching your values. They're able to pay some, maybe full pay, if not, maybe a little scholarship. But they're financially good for the school. But they're really good ambassadors for the school. They represent the school well. They're your ideal families. When I work one-on-one with clients, we go through this process extensively, identifying very specifically these ideal family. And we even break them out into certain groups of families so that we really do know we're targeting the families according to whatever the enrollment goals are. So we may look at young moms who have kindergarten age kids or pre-K kids so that we can be targeting those elementary age kids. We may be looking at middle school moms and dads. Whatever it is, we go through those extensively. But for this definition, we're looking at getting those ideal families to know, like, and trust you. That's a relationship that you're building with them. That's why this definition, I think, means more to us than manipulation, pushing, and promotion does, because we're just developing a relationship with your prospective families. Many of you are doing that if you're in any role in admissions at all. You know what it's like to nurture those relationships. And in marketing, that's what we're doing. Some of the families are just getting to know you. They never have had a reason to look at private school, or they've never had a reason to look at private school in your town. Maybe they're getting transferred in because of military or business purposes. They're now getting to know the different options in the community. Or they've always been the public school family and never ever thought about private school, but something happened at the public school that they are just fed up and frustrated. So now they're ready to move on to something else. And so now they're getting to know you, even though they lived in the same town for 20 years. They never explored the private school options. And then you're just developing a relationship with them through a series of interactions and touch points to the point where they trust you enough. They've surveyed the landscape. Now they decided that you are the school where they're going to put their precious babies with. They trust you enough for that. You've nurtured that relationship so they trust you. And at that point in time, they enroll. So in this process of marketing, we're trying to get them to enroll. And that's a big part. We're trying to fill these empty seats. But there's more to it than that, so we're going to go through the rest of the definition, and I think we get a broader perspective of what we're doing in marketing, and that is to build loyal ambassadors for your school. We can enroll as many families as we want. We can fill those seats. We can fill these five seats. But what if those two over there leave because they get transferred out, or worse, these two over here leave because they're dissatisfied or disillusioned? Okay, so if we're focusing all of our attention on getting those families to know, like, and trust so that they enroll, but we neglect the fact that we have families going out the back door, then we're not doing our job in marketing. This word here is a big one to me, loyalty. When is in your marketing cycle of things? Those of you who have been in the presentation can't answer because you've heard this. When in the marketing cycle of things does the word loyalty mean the most to you? Anybody want to guess? Re-enrollment. Exactly. When that time comes and you need to re-enroll your families, you're going to see who's loyal. And so what we want to do is make sure we're not only enrolling families, but nurturing them as well to become loyal and loyal ambassadors. Ambassadors are great referral sources for you. This is as much of an intentional effort to build loyalty in ambassadors as it is to recruit people. We spend a lot of time and money. We got a lot of systems. We got a lot of checklists and things to enroll families. But when it comes to re-enrollment, people, we don't have a system. We don't have anything in place. And so we want to focus on that. So that's just kind of a definition of marketing that we're going to go through to get us as we're talking about visual content strategies. Because visual matters. And visual, I just want you to think about, because we're going to talk a lot about visuals on social media. And I want you to get in your head, does any of this that we're doing help us to build loyal ambassadors for our school? Are we working in that side of recruiting families, which is good, but or could we also be looking at how we're retaining those students as well? So let's go through this. This is some of the things you know. Well, pictures are worth 1,000 words. I love video because it's kind of worth 1,000 pictures, as they say. But this is the point I want to make, is visual content. It's so important. If we neglect it, we're also neglecting the opportunity for your families to share it. We need to give people good, compelling content that they would be willing to share. Because especially on social media, that's the gold mine, is when you can get sharing going on in your social media platforms. All right, so we're going to go through just to kind of give you an idea. There are three primary sources of high-quality content out there online, on your website, on your social media, and they go like this: written, audio, and visual. Those are the three types of content. We tend to be really heavy in this area, written. Really, really heavy. Audio, I love audio options. You can have podcasts, you can have audio recordings. It's often the most overlooked possibility. This is a real nice way to move beyond just written. Getting into audio allows you to have a chance to hear people's voices, which is really authentic, and people enjoy listening to that. It's sometimes easier to do than visual, because if you're especially focused on video, audio is really nice because the person who's doing the talking doesn't have to look into the camera. And I don't know if you've ever tried video with somebody you thought was going to be fantastic on video. You put the camera in front of them and they froze. That happens. I hate video myself. But I can do an audio all the time because people just listen to my voice. So those are three different types of content, but we're going to focus on the visual side of things this morning. And we're going to look at five kind of realities of visual content. And through this process, we'll be mentioning different social platforms in which visuals are really important. So I just wanted to go through those with you real quickly. First reality of visuals is this, that we take in visual content a lot better than words and text. If you can't see this, this is just a diagram that I got. Someone that said the brain processes visuals 60,000 times faster than it does text, and 90% of the information sent to our brains is visual. The idea is that we are visual people. We know that, but yet we tend to write a lot of stuff to our prospective families. We tend to want to post a lot of text. Why we do that, I'm not sure. It's just easier than it is to come up with visual content. But when I look at social media, this is what I think. Yes, ma'am.
When you're saying, I don't mean to seem stupid, but when you're saying visual content, are you talking about pictures or are you talking about?
Good question. That's not a stupid question at all. Visual could be anything from graphics, photos, and video as well. So anything visual, anything you see or watch with your eyes, we'll put that in that category. So that's a great question to clarify. Anybody on social media think this is what it feels like? Where you're just watching this thing go around and around, and just social media is just, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or any of those platforms, just feels like it's going a million miles an hour. If you felt like the tidal wave has hit over the last 5 years or 7 years maybe, social media has just come on us like an unexpected tidal wave, because it just didn't exist 10 years ago. I mean, really, think 10 years ago. If you were doing this job in any way 10 years ago, you weren't dealing with visual social media content. You didn't have to worry about that. You may have had a website, but you didn't have anything like Instagram or Twitter, those things to worry about. But this is what we're trying to look at. Let's see if this, there's our little guy. This is kind of what it feels like sometimes. It's just, that's what we're doing. You see people all the time in these things. We're just kind of scrolling through. And this is what we have to do. The first reality is we realize that while we process visually, what our job as marketers is to do this, is to stop the scroll. We've got to somewhat, we don't want to be an advertising that just kind of jumps in the middle of that, but we also have to kind of stop the scroll. And what I mean by that is, as you've seen content on your device or laptop or wherever you're scrolling through looking at content, you will scroll. Most people scroll through pretty quickly and so really just skimming. And all of a sudden, someone will stop the scroll and you'll want to read it. Maybe it's be something from a really good friend, but it's usually a visual. Usually it's a visual. It's a video a friend posted. It's a video that someone said, this is a great, funny YouTube video. It's some sort of compelling content that you think, oh, well, that's kind of neat. I'm going to like that. I'm going to do something with that. And then I'll continue my scroll. So the first reality is we have to figure out, how do we stop the scroll? And that's where we'll talk a little bit more about visual content that compels you to stop the scroll and then hopefully share that. So as you're producing, you've got to produce the content so that your users on the other end, current families but also prospective families, are when they're going through your content, they're not just skimming right past it. So that's the point. So the second reality is this. There are some on social media, the visuals that just stand alone. And what I mean by that, if this is one example. This is a lady named Kim Garst on her Facebook page. She will post images like this, very similar to this. It's just an inspirational quote. It's got an image to it. And some people, when they see that, they'll stop and they'll take the time to like it. Kim has a lot of followers, but still, you can't see the numbers from the back, but it says 745 people like this, and 440 people stopped their scrolling to share that image because they thought it was inspirational enough to want to share it with their friends. 440 people, she was able to stop the scroll with that image. Now, just by itself, we think, well, what's the big deal? But in the scroll, something about that image stands out. So we have to think, how can we do that? Because this is what we're after. When we're talking about visuals that just stand alone, what I mean by stand alone is that they also, there's no click through to back to the website or anything like that. It's just right on your, this one's on Facebook, Instagram. How many of you are Instagramming for your school? So, you know, other than the profile where they have to go back to the profile and click the single link that's in the profile, if they're just in their feed, you're not able to click through anything. So you really got to stop the scroll in Instagram. And you do that with different kind of visual images there. And because this is what we're after. We're trying to get engagement on our visuals. So whatever the platform is, you're trying to get them to like, comment, hopefully share it, pin it, favorite it, like it, whatever it is that they call it, there's a lot of different ways to get engagement. So we want to focus on that. This is another guy, Michael Hyatt. Let me go back. Michael Hyatt is somebody that I love to follow. I love to see what he does. This is an image, I mean, pretty simple, quote. But again, this could have been just text. He could have put that little quote mark and said, hey, here's a great inspirational quote I found. But they put it in this graphic and made this up. Color stands out. Something really creative with the word greener there with the grass behind it. It's branded with him. You can't see this, but look how many 1,000 people like that image. And again, Michael's got some followers, but still, 377 people thought it was worth sharing. All because of something like that. And so I'm giving you examples of what really is great visual content on. This is on Facebook as well. I think he uses that on Instagram too. If I can tell, that looks like a kind of a square enough to be. He uses that image on Instagram. But I look back at his newsfeed. For 6 months, this was the number one rated, the highest shared image out there. So 377 shares. But it could be something as simple as this. This is from Swickley Academy. All this is a post about their boys' basketball. They were unbeaten. Now, they could have put a picture of the kids. They could have just put a text and said, congratulations, boys, for going undefeated. But with a little extra effort, they put the picture of the boys and they made this real bold statement here, still unbeaten. 18-0. And again, this is just a school, but they got 25 likes. And I've captured this, I think if I remember, within the first day that they posted it. And they don't usually get that much engagement on pictures. But things like that make it really simple. This is another one from Pantego Christian Academy. I love this one. It was posted in January. So they're using the cold weather and they just used a very compelling graphic that's going to probably stop the scroll because you look at that and then they use that to talk about their tuition freezing. So looks like over 65 people liked that image. Again, you could have easily put that in text and said, announcing that we have frozen the tuition for this year. Don't think we'd have got near the engagement as that we got when we got an image like that. This is an image that I did. I helped a school that I was working with, St. Joseph Christian School. They were looking for ways to get engagement. So last spring, we worked on their graduating seniors. There was 25 of them, so not very hard to do. We put together an image. We developed this on Photoshop, just a real quick kind of square. They took these images and put them on Instagram as well, if I remember. And we just had a graphic made up for every single graduating senior. Really easy to do. All it took was a few weeks of planning. The template is the same. All they had to do is submit their senior picture, and all of them had senior portraits done there on campus, so they all had the same look to them, which was really nice. They sent me, because I helped them do the graphics part. They didn't have anybody who could do that, so I helped them with that. They just sent me the name, the picture, and then they gave me some of the details about Maddie here. So everybody kind of had favorite Bible verse, a little bit about where she's going to go to school, what her parents' names are, and that kind of thing. And they just sent that to me kind of in a spreadsheet, and then I made that up and posted that one student per day for 25 days leading up to graduation. The last one was posted on the day of graduation. And so again, it was, you know, of all the content that they share a lot of content. They're really good on social media, but this was, these posts, these senior features were some of the highest engagement they had received. This is over 45 people liked this Maddie's page here. And so these are things that you can do in your school that honor graduating seniors. You could do this to honor teachers. Maybe if you just have a Teacher of the Month award, for whatever reason, you can give them something real small, but then have that up on your social media channels. It's visual content that really just stands alone. We're just getting engagement on the site. This is one from Gilmore Academy. Yes, ma'am.
Do you ever run into just privacy, like in your dealings with school? How mm-hmm. do you...
Privacy issues?
With posting, I mean, seniors, when they're older, thinking we have elementary, and we did an ad on a grocery cart that, you know, I went and got special permission for those 8 kids in that picture.
Right.
You know, how...
Well, they all have, we didn't tag them in the photo, and then also they had permission from all the parents to use all of that. So as long as you have, I mean, there would be some legal people that might argue that, and you'll go to round and round with them, but from the basic idea is to get permission. So any other thoughts on that?
In our paperwork, when you enroll, you have to opt out.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it, is just to assume that they're opting in, give them the permission to opt out. So that's another way you can do that.
You can have that. I mean, people circle it. My concern always is they're going through it, and they're just circling. And so, you know, that is why I make the extra effort.
And if you, a lot of it is, if you make it clear enough, that's their issue. They really did. They opted out of that. If you've got the time, you got the manpower to contact them and say, obviously something like the senior feature, parents knew that they were the ones giving us the information. So we knew that. Did anybody else have a thought?
Make sure. This thing, and I actually sent them a copy just to be sure.
Mm-hmm.
This just happened a few weeks ago. Really, just profile family. They said they said you can use our children's pictures, but don't tag them. But even, and I wasn't, but I still reached out and made sure, just so they weren't surprised.
Yeah. So if you know, in certain situations, if you want to make sure, go the extra mile to contact them. You know, this is a school, Gilmore Academy. The athletic director does all the graphics. And again, this is, again, they could have posted this picture of the, this is the girls' track and field team. And he said they used to do things like that. They would just post the pictures of the kids. But he just took a little extra effort, put the word champions across it. And he said when he started doing that, and then if you follow Gilmore Academy, you'll see a lot of their graphics look like this. More than just your standard picture of the kids at track or on the football team. He goes the extra mile and does that. So he really just kind of, if I remember, he told me that he just kind of self-taught on Photoshop and learned a little basic things and learned how to put some graphics to it. And then is having some fun. He's having to the point where the kids are going up to him and saying, hey, when can I make the graphic? You know, I want a graphic about me. And parents are asking for copies of the graphics so that they can print them out and do all the kind of things they want to do with it. So,
is it just playing around with Photoshop, or is there a special app that you can do? Like, I know Instagram sometimes has those apps where
there's
you
a
play around with the text.
Yeah, there's a lot. Photoshop is just one of the tools that you can use, but there's a ton of different tools that you could use. Canva is one that has been used. There's a lot of different apps. I use one called Over, is what it's called. I think it's OVER. You just upload your image, and then you can take some text. That's a free app. There's an upgraded version. You can do a little bit more with it, but pretty much you can just type in whatever text you want. Over, OVER. Let's see. There's a ton more out there, but you know.
What do you suggest for somebody who's not techie?
Some of those things like Over is pretty easy to use, okay. Just on your phone.
Canva.
I think you've used Canva. That's pretty easy too. It's kind of what's been growing now is kind of the alternative to Photoshop because it's pretty. Is it kind of drag and drop kind of stuff? Very much a template. Canva. C-A, like canvas without the S. C-A-N-V-A. Yeah, that's on the computer. I don't think there's a, is there an app or anything? So it's on your computer, but you can make that.
I bought it yesterday, and it's really user-friendly.
What was your?
The Canva.
Yeah.
I actually make all my graphics on Photoshop, and so I just messed around with it a little bit yesterday, and it's so easy to do.
Yeah, Photoshop and Canva are really, really, Photoshop is just, It's not that user friendly at first. You can kind of adapt it if you want to dig into it. That's what Jeff did on this at Gilmore Academy. But Canva is really probably the easiest alternative to that. So if you want to use that. All right, so these are just standalone graphics. The point of standalone graphics is to get at highest level of engagement you can on those posts. Especially on Facebook, you want to get engagement. Because according to Facebook's little algorithm, the more people engage with your posts, the more they'll show it to those people. If you, skim through your post, then they're saying, well, you may not be as interested in this Gilmore Academy, so we won't show it to you. But if you like and comment and share it, then over time, Facebook says, oh, you seem to like Gilmore Academy, so whenever Gilmore Academy posts something, I'll be sure and show it to you. And so that's why you want to encourage that you're back to school coming up soon. You want to make sure at those parent-teacher organization meetings and you're telling them all the wonderful things that they could be a part of, spend 5 minutes or 10 minutes and tell them the importance of social media engagement. Stress that. Especially those parents who you know are great ambassadors for your school already. Tell them, we desperately need you to like and comment and share posts that we do on Facebook and on Instagram and other places. Okay, so now let's just go to the third reality is that there are times, and these are the most opportune times, is that those visuals can actually lead us from the channel that are on, kind of open the door so that we can go to the website. So acting kind of as a magnet now, we stop the scroll on Facebook or Instagram, maybe Pinterest. Instagram is a little harder because Instagram, you can't click the image and go right through to the website. But you want to be able to take people off, in this way, you want to kind of take people off their social platform that they're on and try to drive them back to the website. If you were a part of the presentation I did on social media tools, you might have remembered a graphic kind of looked like a wheel. The website is the hub in the middle, and on the out, on those spokes that go out of on a wheel, you kind of put all the different social platforms like Facebook and Instagram, and ultimately we're interacting with our prospective families and current families a lot more on that site. We're doing that on a daily basis because, believe it or not, they're not hanging out on your website on a daily basis. But they are hanging out on Facebook, and we're trying to communicate where they are. And so we're trying to get these visuals to act like a magnet. So this is where we go into what I really want someone to do is come to the website, because I want them to take that one little visual, drive them to the website so that they can see all that we have available. It's the supermarket analogy. You go to the grocery store, you go in for milk. Milk is at the back of the store because milk is strategically at the back of the store so that you'll walk out with a basket full of stuff. You went in for milk, and you come out with all the things you didn't remember you needed. And all of a sudden, oh, you didn't know that they had that. And before you know it, you're filling up your basket with things. The same concept is true, especially for your prospective families. You want to, anything you can do to drive them back to the website, you want to do. We can't just rely on the fact that they want to search for private schools in Columbus or whatever the city is, because they're not doing that on a regular basis. But they are on Facebook on a regular basis. If you can get them to be liking your page and then following you on whatever channel, then we want to try to get them back to the website so they can see all the different offerings we have. So an example would be something simple like this. This is just a visual that they put up about basketball camp. And then there's the link inside of the Facebook where you just put the link. You don't have to put www. You don't have to put HTTP, whatever. You just put the name of the school, .com/summer, and that you could go and register for the basketball camp on the website. Now, as I was working with them, their original thought was, we always have camps. They put out a flyer. They have a magazine ad in the newspaper or a newspaper ad in the community newspaper. And they would normally have put, sign up for summer camps, and here's a phone number. Because they said, well, the point of this is to sign up for summer camps, right? That's not the point of summer camps. Summer camps are marketing efforts to get people to know, like, and trust your school. You're trying to attract people in the community to get to know your school. And so at this point in time, we want to get them to the website where they can see a phone number to register if they need to. But there's also on that site a form that they can fill out to register. And so taking something simple like your summer camps, thinking through it from a marketing angle, this is driving traffic back to the site. So they have to go to the website to register. And when they're there, they can see all the other offerings they do. This is something we did. Again, what I consider to be kind of visual content, something that's going to stop the scroll. We got a lot of feedback on this. Again, there's little links inside of the website or inside the Facebook post. There's the link back to the website. So just visual content that stops the scroll and gives people a link back to your site. So that's kind of, you don't always have to do this. Like again, we had several posts that stood alone. But then sometimes you won't post to make sure you drive them to the website. As we're on this topic, there should be very little reason why you ever drive somebody to your homepage. There should be very, I don't even know that many times that you would ever drive someone to your homepage. Now, we typically like to keep it real clean and simple. Say columbuschristian.com, that would go there. The problem is, especially on these little devices now, if your website is not responsive, which means if it doesn't move, if it doesn't look better on this device than it does on the desktop, then you got to have a responsive site first. But even when they get here and you're telling somebody to go find the information, you're going to lose them. They're going to click off really quickly. It's like dropping them off at the front of the mall and saying, can you go get me a pair of shoes? Where do I go? I don't even know what store to go. I don't know how to get to it. You want to drive somebody to a very specific page that you create. So very few times would you ever go something just to your, I mean, I would even do that on a billboard. If you're still doing billboards, why send them to the homepage? You can't track anything from the homepage on the measurement of the success of that billboard. So drive them to a specific page so that you can at least see from maybe your Google Analytics how much traffic you're getting. So another visual content. Some of you recognize this from Pinterest. How many Pinterest users do we have in here? Okay. This is the type of image that they say is the most common that people repin on Pinterest is this long rectangular graph. So when you're talking about visual content, think about, especially on the platforms, you know. And I'm trying to do this more and more myself. It's a lot easier to create one image and use it on Facebook and use it on, and I do that from sometimes just because I get busy. But when you can, if you have a really important piece that you're trying to drive people to, make sure you have a real compelling graphic like this. It doesn't always have to be all those images and everything. The length of it is, the height of it is the big part. It could just be a real compelling picture of the kids with a little text on it. You create these in whatever tool you can. I don't know if Canva can do anything like that, but Photoshop could easily do a long image like that. And you put, here's the strategy. You want to be on Pinterest pinning photos like that because that stands out on Pinterest, which means you've got to have Pinterest-friendly images over on your website. So if you really want to attract your families who are on Pinterest, your moms particularly are on Pinterest, you want to give them content that they can pin to their boards that comes from your website. Maybe it's a blog story about success at your school, or maybe a robotics program that you just announced at your school. Whatever the thing is that you're doing, make sure that it's not just text. Make sure it's a good image that someone would maybe share it over on Facebook, or in this case, they want to pin that article over to their boards about great school ideas, great school possibilities for their kids. Moms love to pin things about their kids that are going to be useful for their kids. So visual content like this is really important because I could click through this image, click on that image, and it will take me to the website of that whoever created that image. And so if you imagine if your school has an image like that, stopping the scroll, somebody clicks through that to see more about what's behind that image. And that's why I love Pinterest so as a strategy. Questions about that?
I've got a marketing department who's very integrated when it comes to social media.
Okay.
And they're not going to do Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, yada yada. Top three that you would recommend?
You're saying they're not going to do all of them, right?
They're not going to be on all of them.
Right.
So what would the top three you would say they need to be on?
Okay, I can give you an idea. I would go Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. Now, I'm in a visual content strategy presentation, so it makes sense to say that.
Right.
Twitter has some value as well, but I'm going to tell you, I think those are the three best ones. Facebook is just, it's the kind of the big daddy of all of them. I think that's still valuable. But if you really want to reach the moms on a kind of a general basis, the moms who are 30 and younger are going to be heavy Instagram users. And if you're targeting moms who are 30 and younger, they have those little babies at home still or those young kids in elementary. So I would be on Instagram. And those same moms typically, it can go up to about 40 or more on Pinterest. But again, if you're wanting to communicate in the platforms that your audience that you're trying to reach is on, so Instagram and Pinterest would be some options there. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
And I'm new to the admissions department, but the girl who was leading said that she spent, I would say, $2,000 or more on the little, just the little postcards, canvassing, you know, the surrounding neighborhoods that we've been inviting them to that. And instead, the next year she implemented the social media stuff, didn't send out postcards, she just had a few printed that they could grab at the front desk, but instead paid the whatever.
And I'll repeat that just for the recording, but the idea being that typically we've spent money, thousands of dollars, on postcards and blanketed the zip codes around. But instead of doing that, one example was to take that, maybe print fewer, and spend $100 on boosting the Facebook post with that image and getting a higher rate of return. So it's a great tool. Remember on that, you have to have that, it's a 20% rule on Facebook. They won't let you boost an image that has some of those images, that Michael Hyatt image probably would not pass muster on that because it's got too much text on it. I don't know why they do that. They have some rule out there that says it has to be 20% of the image can only be text. The rest of it has to be images or something like that. So there's actually a little tool out there. You can run it through, and it'll tell you how much of your image has text in it. It's a crazy, crazy rule. It doesn't make any sense to me. But they think it would clutter up the news feeds, I guess, if they see a lot of text. And they're afraid of a lot of advertisements and things. So they want to keep it cleaner. So they have this 20% rule. So when you're doing that, you just want to keep that in mind. I've actually done the point where I've had images, and then I just quickly recreated the image where I just took out some of the other stuff in just the very most important text, because the whole point of the text is to grab somebody's attention, stop the scroll, and lead them through to the website. I'm not trying to give them all the information on the graphic. I want them to click through and go to the website and find all the information there. So that's a great point. So the next reality we'll go through is this. How many can tell me what the idiom is of this image? Yeah, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So I want to explain this real quickly. We just have a few minutes just to go through this real fast. But I want to explain to you what's happening just from a theoretical standpoint in visual content. We can do a lot of work in visuals, but remember, this is what we don't want to happen. We don't want any duds or dead ends, because we can work all we can in putting Canva together and Photoshop images together. But when they get to the website, which is ultimately where we want to take them, what are they finding when they get there? Okay? And so remember our definition of marketing. We're trying to get these families to know, like, and trust us, and particularly the prospective families. We want them to get to know us and like us. If the first thing they experience when they come to our website is a dud or a dead end, then that's not doing very well to get them to know and like us. So let's just go through real quickly. I want to give you this visual. It's an hourglass. Some people call it the marketing funnel. I actually like the hourglass concept, but it's the same kind of, you can see the funnel at the top, and it's just a little expanded. So here's what I'm looking at. All the families in your community, there's specific ones you're trying to attract. Here are some of your more ideal families out of all the community families you have. These are your ideal families. Okay? And what we're trying to do is pull each one of those families down into our hourglass, because we want them to get the know, like, and trust so they enroll. And eventually, that's why I like the bottom part. I think the marketing funnel stops at the enrollment part. I like to expand that to the hourglass concept, because here we're focused on repeat and refer. So those loyal ambassadors. Okay? Because those ambassadors, just like an hourglass, flips over and they start feeding you new families, new leads. Okay? And repeat people just kind of keep going on and on and on. So the idea is to draw them into this hourglass, attracting the families through this four-part system. And I'll just go through this real fast. Let me just put them all up there for you real quick. Here's what's happening. You want to, what we call lead generation. That's sometimes a business term, but it's basically, if you put prospective family in place of the word lead, you want to generate prospective families. You want to get people into your system. Again, getting them to just know you exist. We're just trying to generate leads. So social media can generate those leads. Because a friend will share a post and share an image over on their site, and all of a sudden they'll become aware that your school exists. So then they come over to the website. This is where we're talking about that lead response. What is the response? What do they get when they come to the website? Is it a dud or a dead end? Or did they see something after they've kind of been generated as a lead? Now they come to the website. What is the response that we give to them? I hope it's not just that they'll click off and say, I don't want this. This is a dud. Well, the hope is that they'll like that and begin that know, like, and trust relationship. And to the point where we then can begin nurturing them toward that trust. So that's what that hope, that's where lead generation, nurture, response, and nurturing and conversion. That's all that part of getting them to know, like, and trust you. So I just want to give you that visual so that you can think why visual content is so important. It does matter. It's not just, oh, I'm going to play around on Canva and have some pretty pictures. The idea is to get families to know, like, and trust you. And when we come to the website, we have to make sure that when they come to that page, maybe it's that summer page of the summer camps, what's on the page? Are they going to click off because there's nothing there? That's why we don't take them to the homepage, because they click off because they don't know where to go. We have to take them to very specific places so that as we respond to their interest, we can begin to nurture that relationship. So that's kind of a little bit of the theory behind what we're doing. All right, now we're going to go through this last one really fast. There are five types of, this is the fifth reality, but there's also inside of this fifth reality, I'm just going to talk about five types of content that, and this will give a chance to kind of go through different platforms. You'll see examples. This is actually a little bit more on the website concept besides just social media. Visual bullets. This is something I'm beginning to see more and more on websites, and I like it a lot. We could have bullets. We do a lot of bullets on our website, but they're usually text because they usually say all the things that we do. Okay, and it's information. If you want to write something down, write down inspiration before information. Inspiration before information. Your prospective families, they need information to make their decision. Yes. They need to see all those bullet points of all the different offerings you have, all the different classes sizes you have, all the different AP courses you offer. They need that information. But when they're coming as a new prospective family, kind of in that marketing hourglass, we call it, and they're coming to your website, they're getting to know you, they're not making their decision based on just the information. What they're making their decision on initially is whether to even continue this relationship or not, is the inspiration. They want to know first, before I even dig into how many AP classes you offer, I want to know first, is my little Johnny going to fit in at your school? Is there a possibility that Tori is going to really make friends at this school? Would we fit as in the family? Can we fit in here? Are they going to find successes at this school? Are the teachers warm and loving as they say they are? I mean, we need inspiration before information. Both of those are important, but we tend to focus on the information because we think parents need information to make decisions, but they really need inspiration to really stay with us. So this is kind of an opportunity to, rather than hitting them, this is on the homepage of Sonoma Academy, I think is the way you pronounce it. I've seen this on a couple of different websites, but the idea is, instead of just meeting them on the homepage of this website with a bunch of bullet points about why they're a great school, this is actually an interactive site where you can click on, with probably permission from all those families, you can click on Morgan right here. You can hover over this gentleman here, this young man here. But when you click on Morgan, you can go right through, and Morgan's story is right there. It tells everything. Morgan's video's on there. Morgan tells everything about what she loves about the school. Morgan's parents are on there. It's Morgan. We're seeing stories, stories, stories. Inspiration. When I read Morgan's story, my daughter, I could see my daughter being like Morgan. Now I'm going to go dig for the information. I've got inspiration. Now I'll go dig for the information to see if we're a good match. So this is another example, same kind of concept. This is at a university, a college, Vail Mountain School. Same concept. These are some personal stories. I think there's a robotics program somewhere on here, I've forgotten. But you can click through each one of these little boxes, these visual bullets, and go right into a story about, it's an individual or a particular offering about their school. And so it's just a way to take what used to be just text bullets and make it visual. All right, so that's just one example. I love visuals that speak, and these are really important on social media, especially something like Instagram. Converse loves to have a lot of fun on their Instagram account. It's shoes, folks. How much can you do with pictures of shoes? Well, a lot, when you start doing some real creative things like this. So you have to be real creative, because a lot of times you're thinking, "What? It's just our school. I mean, take a picture of the campus over here and take a picture of kids." But be creative. This is one of the reasons why I like the concept of letting their students take over the Instagram account. You're obviously going to monitor that. You're going to use trusted leaders. But a lot of schools are beginning to see the value in letting students take over that Instagram account for a day or a week and letting them be creative. They're probably a lot more creative than we are, just having more fun. So, yes. Has anybody done the Instagram account with their students or anything? I think, as far as I know, you would just log in. Wouldn't you just log in to that? Okay. So some people actually give them the login and they log into Instagram and do it that way. Others, you send in have them send in the photos and the captions and then you post them yourself. Well, you just, yeah, this is why you, I mean, it's either going to be,
yeah. Lady mentioned that she approved, and I was like, I
No, that's probably where if you have them send in the photos to you, you could more prove it that way. The other way is just to let them use it, and then if they, you know, you just have to, you know, take them off. If, yeah. I mean, you're going to have some, this is very trusted leaders. I mean, you're going to turn it over to. So, yes. Yeah, that's another tool. Okay, let's go through this real fast. These are just visuals. This is from Charity Water, a nonprofit that helps put water wells in around the world in villages that don't have clean water. So, again, a visual that speaks is of a child holding up a sign saying, "I'm one of the beneficiaries of your donation." So you could do that similar kind of thing. This is one I like the most. This is on Instagram from Eastern Christian School. They took a picture of their gymnasium with all the flags on it of all their championships, the Wall of Champions. Again, this stuff is something that a prospective family is not going to ever see until they walk into the gym.
What was the name of?
Eastern Christian School. But they took a picture of it and put it on Instagram. So now someone's following on Instagram. I mean, obviously, current families are going to like this, but certainly other people go, "Well, I thought y'all were just a small school. I didn't even know you had athletics." How many people have said that about your school? And here we are, the state champions, volleyball, softball. Another school that I was working with, they had a really neat display of they had the little triangle pennants of all the major school, all the schools that where their graduates have gone in the last 2 years. You know, Division I schools, you know, other schools. And I said, "Oh, that's a really powerful picture." And they said, "Yeah, we do that so that when people come on a tour, they can see that." And so they're now thinking, "Oh, yeah, we shouldn't make everybody just come for the tour before they see that." Now they take a picture of that and they're going to put it on their social media channels because it has the same impact. So we got to think about things that rather than waiting for someone to have to come to our campus to see these things, we need to share that with them on social media. All right, real quickly going through this. Infographics is just another thing. Again, it's just taking basic text, what has always been text, and making, this is just simple little icons on Baylor Prepares. Just grabs your attention visually. It still has some text underneath this. But again, 800,000 athletic scholarship earned. And again, it may just been flipping through the website. Somebody stops on that because it's a visual rather than a bullet point, which we've always put these in bullet points. So thinking that this is much more complex for you to see on the screen in the back, just a kind of an infographic that they used, talking about their advanced placement scores from Sage Hill. So again, visually representing what we've always done in text. How can you visually represent the successes at your school? This is one I did for a school. They were having some trouble. People thought of them as kind of just a church school, not real strong academics. But yet they have all these AP courses. And so on this example, what we did, we created this infographic. But we created, if you can imagine, those are three squares put on top of each other. We created the squares first so that they could post on Instagram and on their Facebook page. So each one of them stood alone. And then we stacked them together so they could post it on Pinterest as one single graphic. So they had a lot of use of those different graphics. So it's as simple as saying, "Hey, we could have easily done this in text, but who would have paid attention to it?" The idea being, it's a little extra work to put that together, but the idea being, we wanted somebody to stop their scroll enough to take a chance to look at that. So, this is what we did there. We just assembled those slides together, okay? Again, just real quickly going through this. How many of you remember a Super Bowl a few years ago? If you watched the Super Bowl in, I think it was Seattle, we're right in the middle of the game. The half of the stadium goes dark because the lights shut down. Do you remember that? Okay. So remember, Super Bowls are charging millions of dollars for advertisements. These commercials go on. We all watch them. And then Monday morning, they all talk about which is the most effective ad out there from a standpoint of, you know, how did it reach? What was the most popular? Okay. This was right at the beginning of where Instagram was really taking off. So right in the middle of that, within minutes of that happening, we're all sitting around waiting 30 minutes, waiting for this game to start back up. The color commentators are just blabbing on, trying to fill time. And right in the middle of that, Oreo created this image that says, you can still dunk in the dark. Right, real time, created a quick image, put their Oreo over here, darken that up, and boom, share, and, you know, and they just went viral. And Monday morning, were they talking about any of the Super Bowl ads that people paid millions of dollars for? No. Because they were creative enough, real time, Oreo got all the press Monday morning. Okay, and Oreo still does a lot of, if you want to have some fun just being inspired by things, this is their Oreo account. You can recognize the Oreo cookie, right? And it looks like they're on the beach. So, I mean, you're just taking simple graphics, simple things that go on your campus and having some fun with it. This is something the school did. This is Ithaca College. It says, Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Enjoy your holiday. So they just carved the logo into the pie crust. They could have done the Happy Thanksgiving that everybody does, just have the words, Happy Thanksgiving, but they created visuals that really compel. Gilmore Academy, I mentioned this gentleman earlier. This is the athletic director. You can see these are some of the kind of posts that he does. This is one, he does a lot of these where he takes the individual student athletes and puts all their stats there on the thing, and they love this. The parents eat this up, and they share this with their friends because this is really cool. And this is the one the students are saying, hey, when can I be on the graphic? And his response is, do something worthy and I'll put you on the graphic. He has a lot of fun. And let me just finish up real fast. We don't have as much time to go through the video, but video, this is all the different video options you have. And I'll kind of close with this. YouTube and Vimeo right over here, those are you upload your videos to them and, you know, then you can share your video. We all kind of know YouTube. Vimeo is, I think, a lot better than YouTube. But those are two different examples. Some of you have sites where you upload your videos directly to your media, whatever you call it, library, and you post your videos directly there. So you might be doing that. But Facebook video is something you really want to pay attention to. Facebook really wanted to take some of the videos off of YouTube and Vimeo and have you post videos to them. And they'll actually give you a call to action at the end of your video, which is really nice. So you play your little 1-minute video, and at the end it'll say, you learn more, and you click the button, and it goes straight to your website. So having video on your Facebook page is really a good tool. Video on Instagram is 15 seconds. You can do a lot of fun stuff, some behind-the-scenes things, or just bringing some of the campus to life. You know, the head of school, the principals, the coaches, doing this, some Instagram video. And then Vine is a 6-second app that people do some really crazy fun things with. More kids, I think, do more Vine than others. And then the last video option is just this newer one down on the bottom corner called Periscope. So there's a lot of video options out there. Did you have a real quick question?
Yes.
Okay.
So do those schools have Instagram for school, and Instagram for athletics, art?
It all depends. Everybody's different. Most of the time, everybody likes to do it the same. Gilmore Academy has finally decided they have so many. He loves to do so many graphics that they have an athletics Instagram account because they do so much. And he's actually experimenting now with specific sports having their own accounts. But he knows, too, he can handle that. But whenever he leaves, he said, I've got to make sure that the person following me can manage all those as well. It's a lot harder to manage 7 different accounts. So video is one of those other things. I'm not going to go through all these slides, but just the idea that, video matters. And visuals matter and all this thing. So I'm hoping I'm just giving you some ideas. I'm going to be around. If you have specific questions about visuals, let me know. This is I wanted to give this to you. It's on the little orange card back there. If you'll just type in our website, yourschoolmarketing.com, and then /RenWeb. There's some social media tips there for you. All the slides are on this page. You can go get those as well. I'm going to eventually put up all the recordings of each presentation. You'll have to just kind of sync them up yourself. And then there's all my tools that I use. I mentioned all the things like Photoshop and Canva and different things I use to post on social media. All that is listed on that page. So I'll let you go. I know we're running late, so if you have other sessions to get to, but those are the things I want you to know about. If you have any questions, feel free to hang out and visit. Hope you enjoy. I think it's been a great week. Y'all had fun this week? It's been great. A lot of good content. Thank you. And if you're still hanging around, I forgot, if you want to connect with us on Pinterest, right there is one that I share a lot of ideas on visual stuff. So if you need any of that information, you can connect with us on there. Thank you, sir.